A familiar passage in Matthew chapter 6. I want to make a few comments on the Lord's Prayer this morning, and then I'd like to challenge us for this coming week to look at the Lord's Prayer together each day, and I'll be explaining that in a moment. But it's one of the most beautiful passages, I think, that we find in Scripture. It's very familiar to a lot of people. We've heard this prayer, and maybe you've prayed this prayer. Maybe it's part of your daily devotions. I know a couple of our families have told me that one of the things they do every morning is to recite the Lord's Prayer. And I think that's wonderful. And one of my favorite songs, actually, through the years, has been the singing rendition of the Lord's Prayers as well. And so I want to read it and then make some comments this morning and then invite all of us to kind of take a challenge of reading it through the week, verse by verse, and just seeing what the Lord might have for us in the Lord's Prayer. So in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 6, it begins this way, the words of Jesus. In this manner, therefore, pray. In this manner, therefore, pray. It's not a requirement. There's nothing obligatory about it, but it's Jesus saying, when asked in the Luke version of this, teach us to pray, he said, well, in this manner, like this, you can pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a beautiful prayer. And I forgot something else. Vicki, it's good to see you today, all the way from Arizona, longtime member of our church through the years, mom and dad and children and grandchildren. Vicki, wave at me. People will see you. She's the one responsible for the bad weather we're having. She came from Arizona where it's always beautiful, right? No, I'm kidding. But it's good to see you, Vicki. Thanks for joining us. She heads back to Arizona soon. And three families have volunteered to go with her. So the Lord's Prayer. Jesus is teaching what we know, the Sermon on the Mount. And right at the kind of the middle of it, he says, in this manner, pray. If you look at Luke chapter 11, you'll see the Luke version of this, and it's a little bit different. And there, it was one of his disciples that said, Lord, John the Baptist teaches his disciples how to pray. Why don't you teach us to pray as well? And so Jesus gave them a sample, and that's really what this is. In this manner, therefore, pray. It's a sample prayer. It's not a requirement. I think in some traditions it's recited every Sunday before the service is dismissed. In some churches I've heard, which is again wonderful. But what does this prayer speak to us? And I think the first thing that comes to my mind and the beauty of this prayer is that it is an invitation for us, mere human beings, to reach out and to touch the hand of God, to be invited to pray to our Heavenly Father. Just think of that, to be invited to pray to our Heavenly Father. If you were to try to get in to see President Biden, you would have a very difficult time getting in to see him. If you tried to get in to see President Trump, the former president, you would have had a hard time getting in. Only certain people, I guess, are allowed in or by his invitation. Now, I understand when President Lincoln was president, you could stand in the hallway and wait for hours, and he'd see just about anybody. Made him a very popular president. I don't know that that's even practical today. So it's very hard. If you wanted to see the Prime Minister of Canada, I want to make a joke right now. I better be careful. You probably wouldn't be able to do that unless you drove an 18-wheeler truck up to the Capitol, but there's the joke. You probably wouldn't even be able to get close. But if you want to talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Creator of heaven and earth, you're invited to come into His presence anytime you want to through the name of Jesus. Amen? You can talk to Him anytime. You don't have to have an appointment. You don't have to go through me. You don't have to ask permission of anyone. You can just say, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You can just call on the Lord, and how many know the Lord will be listening? Amen? He's listening to you. He's listening to you. He's open to you. And that's why this prayer is so important, because it shows us that we can pray to God and that God is listening. He was listening when we were praying this morning for people on your heart and on your mind. I was praying for the police officer that was injured so badly on Washougal River Road this weekend, if you heard about that. I was up there yesterday and saw the tree, the top of the tree that came down and crushed his patrol car and put him into the hospital and still in serious condition. I'm praying for him. He has some connections to the school where my grandchildren go. And of course, that happened just a few hundred yards from our camp. And so he was on my heart today, and I was praying for him. I don't know that family at all, but I know that as I pray for him, God is reaching out to that family. Amen? Because God cares about those things, and He cares about every person you spoke about as well. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is listening. So he said, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," or "holy is your name." We sang about the name this morning in a couple of our songs, the power of that name, the name of the Lord. And that, and there's a lot of names for God. I know from the Hebrew tradition, there's some very beautiful names, Elohim and others, that I'm certainly not an expert in at all, but there's several names. As a matter of fact, there was a name so holy in the Old Testament that you couldn't pronounce it lest you pronounced it wrong and you be guilty of that. But when the New Testament comes, God revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ, and we are given the privilege to always speak that name, Jesus. Amen? It is a wonderful name. As a matter of fact, in Malachi, if you go back just a few pages in your Bible, in Malachi chapter 1, and there's about 400 years of history between the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament. Between Malachi and Matthew is about 400 years of history. And we call those the silent years, because there was no voice of the prophet. There was no voice of prophecy at all. But in that last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, the first chapter, verse 11, it's interesting. It says these words, "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles," kind of prophesying that God would extend His favor and His grace even to non-Jews, "and in every place incense shall be offered to my name," all right, "and then for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." So even in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, the prophet said his name was going to be glorified. It was going to be lifted up. Every nation would know his name. And so today we have, I mentioned our missionaries, we have missionaries around the world today. And they are bringing the name of Jesus to every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. And not just our missionaries, but other missionaries are bringing the name of Jesus to places where that name is not even permitted to be spoken. But they're bringing it there, and people are getting saved, and they're finding the beauty and the power of the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. My name, it's a holy name. It's a powerful name. And yet, it's a name that our passage says, it is our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, and yet we have the privilege of speaking that name. And we use the name Jesus, and we can use those Old Testament names for Almighty God. There's certainly power in that as well, but that sweet name of Jesus is wonderful. And you can speak that name. It's a simple name. But it's a name that is powerful. And it's a name that the demons know and they tremble at that. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. And so we don't want to misuse that name at all. And yet, you can be in a store and hear Jesus. I was in a store, and you know, sometimes I just don't use a lot of... Sometimes I'm stupid. I know you didn't think that. But I was in a store one day, and I heard someone speak the name of Jesus in a cussing kind of way. And I just turned around and went, "Amen!" And then I thought, what have I done? Because the guy was bigger than I was. And he looked at me, and I looked at him and said, "Amen. You mentioned the name of Jesus." And he said something like, "Well, I didn't mean to," and he walked off. And see you later. I don't advise that. But again, I don't always do things that are smart. But it just rubbed me the wrong way that here that beautiful name was being mistreated like that. So anyway, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The next verse, verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This prayer begins with the kingdom of God, and that it ends with the kingdom of God. The end of this prayer says, yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It starts with the kingdom and it ends with the kingdom. Let me explain something, my understanding of the kingdom of God. Jesus made the statement, a number of statements, about the kingdom of God. And he indicated that that kingdom, the kingdom of God, is going to be present within us. He said that if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. And so the kingdom of God has come. In Acts chapter 2, I believe that that's where the full manifestation of the kingdom of God within us was manifested, as the followers of Jesus were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then Paul would later write, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, there is coming another kingdom, maybe the fulfillment of the great kingdom of God. But right now, the kingdom of God exists within us. If you're a follower of Christ, you're living in the kingdom. And you know why? It's because you serve a king. And if there is a king, there is a kingdom. Amen? There's a kingdom. And we're not waiting for that kingdom, but that kingdom is present within us if we are following Jesus Christ. Now, I know when we read the book of Revelation, we talk about heaven and the kingdom of God in that sense with every nation, tribe, and tongue. That's another wonderful aspect to the kingdom. But right now, we have the kingdom of God within us because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the important thing about this kingdom, your kingdom come, your will be done, is the connection between his kingdom and his will. See, in a kingdom, the will of the king is always done. And so we pray for God's will to be done. All right, we pray for God's will. But how do we know what God's will is? And there's a verse in Romans, it's my life verse, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I memorized it as a teenager by the inspiration of my teacher, and it's been my life verse ever since. I sign it on all my birthday cards to the grandkids and the kids, and even to Cheryl, Valentine's Day, on her card. I put Romans 12, 1 and 2. I always put that down. Put that down. They're probably sick of it, but I always put it down. It's my life verse. And it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And as a teenager, that's what I wanted. I wanted to belong to Jesus. I wanted him to rule my life, and I wanted to do his will. Whatever that was, I wanted to do the will of God. Now, I had the things that I wanted to do, but I always ran them through the Lord. Lord, is this what you wanted to do? That's why I was so glad when I prayed, Lord, shall I marry Cheryl? I'm glad the Lord said yes. And you're thinking, what would you have done had he said no? I'd have changed his mind. No, I'm so grateful, and she the same. And to be a pastor, has always been a desire of my heart since I was a little child. And I believe that was the will of God. But trying to make sure the will of God is done in my life is an important part of being in the kingdom of God. If we are going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we need to submit ourselves totally to the King of that kingdom. Amen? To the King of the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, that may not always be easy. Speaking of missionaries again, I've told you before this story, but in our organization, back before many organizations ever allowed single women to be on the mission field, our founder felt like if a single woman felt called of God to go to a mission field, that she should be allowed to go and encouraged to go, and even though it was a dangerous time. And our organization was one of the first organizations, to my knowledge, that allowed single women to go on the mission field as far as the backing and the support. And I remember I met her a couple times as a teenager, and I was so impressed with her, And many times I'm sure she would ask, why would you do that? Why would you go to the dangerous field of missions? And she went to one of the hardest mission fields in the world at the time. Fewer converts than any other nation, but she felt so compelled to go. And so she went because she felt that was the will of God for her life. And it was hard. It was difficult. We did what we could do as a small organization to help her. But she touched people for Jesus. And I believe now, when you look at that country and see the advancements that have happened in the Christian religion there in that country, I believe part of that was due to the fact that a single young woman said yes to Jesus, his will, and wanted to spread the news of his kingdom in that country. And she's passed on now, I believe, and with the Lord. But it was important to her that she found the will of God. And it's important that every one of us here, no matter how young you are, but especially the young people, or how old you are, you never get too old to want to do God's will. And if you're young, pray for God's will. Where does he want you to go to school? Who does he want you to marry? What does he want you to do with your life? Those are important aspects of the kingdom of God. If we're going to live in the kingdom, then we need to obey and follow the will of the Lord. Amen. All right, let's move on. Give us this day our daily bread. It's interesting. In Matthew 6:26, that's just a few verses away from this, Jesus uses that beautiful little illustration of the birds. That the birds, they don't plant, they don't harvest, and yet none of them goes without food. We have a few little birds that have decided our house is the best house in the neighborhood. And it's the oldest one in the neighborhood. There's beautiful homes sitting right beside me. When we first moved to our little 1,000-square-foot house, me and the next-door neighbor, we were the only ones there. And all of these, you know, more expensive homes cropped up around us. But of anywhere these birds could go, they chose my house. I think it's because Cheryl's so pretty. That's what I think. But with those little birds come the little bird droppings, right? So I try to wash it away. But every time that I walk past where they have decided they're going to live, I'm reminded of this verse in Matthew 6 where it says, God takes care of them. And I just wish he'd take care of them in the tree rather than my house. But this daily bread, there's nothing speaks of God's care for us, of the mundane and the ordinary, than this little line right here. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, to the people Jesus was speaking to, the daily bread was I don't want to make a joke about it, but it was a constant grind. They had to produce that every day, and they didn't always have everything they needed. to you and I today, it may be more expensive, but we can go to any store in town and probably find a loaf of bread, right? And can't do that in every country, but we can do it here. So we just kind of take that for granted. But there's nothing more basic than bread. A lot of you are going to eat bread when you go home today. You'll have some bread. And you want to give it a second thought. But if God cares about the birds of the air and feeds them, and if God cares about our daily bread, don't you think God cares about anything we want to bring to Him? Amen. Come on, amen? Any problem, any difficulty that we have, be it big or small, if God cares enough to encourage us to pray for our daily bread, we ought to believe that God will care about everything that we pray about, anything that we pray about. No matter how small, doesn't matter. You can pray about it. I was with Cheryl the other day. It's amazing to me. It is amazing to me. She can pray for a parking spot. And I'm telling you, she gets them every time. And I was driving, and we were at, I think, Costco or something, and I looked at that parking lot, and I said, "Sweetheart, you better start praying your prayer now." It was packed. She said, "Just go straight." And she said, "Now turn." And I looked, and every spot was filled. And she just said, "Jesus, I just need a parking spot." Because for Cheryl, the closer she can get, the less energy she has to expend in walking so she can spend more time in the store because of what she deals with and pain and such. And so there's a real reason. And I thought, in my mind, I'm thinking, "Sweetheart, that was really sweet prayer." And the minute I thought that, the second stall to the door opened up. The guy just backed out, kind of waved at me as he did. And that's the spot we got. And I pulled in and I looked at her and I said, "That is amazing. That is amazing." I thought, "Are you praying for the church roof too?" Praise the Lord. And some of you might be thinking, "That's so silly, ridiculous, you know what?" Well, call it what you will, but if He invited us to pray for our daily bread, I think it's okay if Cheryl prays for a close parking spot. How about you? Amen? Now, if you pray and don't get it, maybe it's not God's will for you. Maybe you need exercise. Anyway, I'm meddling. Okay, I got to hurry. My time's almost up. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Let's skip that one. And do not leave... No. The Luke version says to forgive us our trespasses. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's not talking about financial debts. It's talking about things that we have done. Trespasses. Sins. And what this prayer says is that if we will ask, that God will forgive us, but there's a caveat to it. We have to forgive those who have hurt us, those who have trespassed against us. I believe it's Matthew 18:21, Peter, and leave this to Peter to ask the question, "How many times should I forgive my brother?" And Peter makes a suggestion. 7 times? Because there is some reference to that in the Old Testament. Because Peter's thinking is, on the 8th time, I don't have to forgive him. And Jesus said, "Peter, I don't say to you, forgive him 7 times. Forgive him 70 times 7. 490 times in a day. I don't know if anyone in this room, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know if anyone in this room can say anybody has trespassed against you 490 times in a day. But this sense of forgiveness isn't how many times do I have to do it, but the fact is it's emphasizing the importance of being a forgiver. If we want to be forgiven, we have to be willing to forgive. Because we all understand what happens when we don't forgive, right? When we don't forgive, it's like a wound. in our spiritual life, and it becomes infected, and it becomes gangrene, if you will. It becomes dangerous to us when we don't forgive. And that's why it's important to be quick to forgive. Now, by saying that, I've always qualified that by saying God doesn't expect us to be a doormat and just keep going back and back and back and back. There's a place where we have to back up so we can't get hurt again. But this sense of forgiveness, we ought to be quick to forgive. And as you know, I've told this story many, many times to this congregation. My grandmother was my greatest example of one who forgave quickly. And I won't tell the story again today, but I saw her over and over again forgive those who would do her harm. But Grandma never had any resentment that I ever saw in her life because she was quick to forgive. And I learned that from Grandma. It hasn't been easy, but that's what we've tried to teach our children, and they're teaching their children. You be quick to forgive. So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You can be forgiven. God will forgive you. All right, let's go on. Verse 13. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, there's a little confusion here because some people feel like this is saying that God would lead you into temptation, and that's not true. The book of James is clear that God doesn't tempt anyone. The Bible says in the book of James, I believe it's chapter 1, that we are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust. And then when we sin, that leads to death. God doesn't tempt us. And he can't be tempted of any man. But rather, I believe what it's saying to us is, Lord, when you lead us from the evil or the temptation. If God led you into temptation, you would have a few you'd like him to lead you into. Right? You're being awful quiet. Think of it for a moment. Think of the things that you are tempted with. If God led you into those, you'd say, okay, lead me into this temptation because I like that one. I like that one. That's not what it's saying. It's lead us from evil. If those temptations are evil, it's saying lead us away from those. Lead us away from those. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The Luke version says the evil one. So it's like the evil one is over here saying, come, 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 come. And all of us that have been tempted in one way or another, every one of us, Come here, the evil one. But the prayer is, Lord, lead us away from the evil one and lead us to you. And that's really what this segment is about, is Lord, lead me to you, closer to you, to live with you and to walk with you. Now, every one of us are tempted in one way or the other, starting right here. Every one of us are tempted. But just the temptation, it's not wrong to be tempted. The wrong comes when we yield to the temptation, right? That's when it becomes sin. And so, Lord, deliver us from that. All right. And then finally, and in a lot of your Bible translations, you won't have this last part. It's a translation problem for some versions, but I've always felt that it was appropriate and necessary and an important part. And that's why in my version, the New King James Version, it's included. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And that's just reinforcing the fact that this prayer emphasizes the kingdom and God's power and God's glory, and that is forever. This prayer is all about God, but it also includes us in this. So this is what I'd like to do this week, if you would join with me, is on Monday, tomorrow, I'd like you to take verse 9 and just read it a couple of times through the day and pray over it and ask, Lord, what does this speak to me today? What does this speak to me today? And see what the Lord would say to you. Maybe look up some other verses related to it. And then on Tuesday, verse 10, Wednesday, verse 11, Thursday, verse 12, Friday, verse 13. And then next Saturday, take the end part of it. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I think that'll set us up for communion on Sunday. Because I think communion and what Jesus did for us on the cross speaks to the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Lord. And so it's a small little exercise. Maybe it'll, as we enter the Lenten season, maybe it'll become part of maybe what you're doing for Lent. But take verse 9 on Monday and then verse 10. It's very simple. You young folks can do it and older folks can do it. And just read it and pray, Lord, what does that speak to me? What is that saying to me? And then maybe read some helps along the way or whatever you want to do. But just as simple as it is, Lord, what is that saying to me today? And be honest and open before the Lord. And I believe that if we'll do that this week, it will make the Lord's Prayer even more powerful for all of us. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Thank you for being here this morning. Lord, we thank you for this little prayer. And I pray that some things that have been said today have been helpful. Maybe they have been challenging. But at any rate, Lord, it's not my words that matter, it's your words. And so I pray, Lord, that as we recite this prayer this morning, as we read it this morning, and as we, this week, each day, take a small portion of it, that you would speak to us something very clear and concise, something that will help us. Because every one of these verses deal with things that we deal with. It's such a relevant prayer. And we thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, that as we recite it this week, and maybe we'll recite it every day. I don't know. But we just take a little piece of it and say, Lord, use this and touch my heart and speak to me about what that means. I believe it will be helpful to us, Lord. And it'll prepare us for coming to church next Sunday and receiving the emblems of communion in gratitude for what you've done for us. And so, Lord, be with us today as we travel home. Keep everyone safe. And thank you for the privilege of being church today with our friends and those that are visiting with us for the first time and those that are watching online. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join me in thanking the Lord for his word today? Amen. 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 All right, God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon, and we'll see you, if not before. We'll see you next Sunday. God bless you.